So here I am, also shirtless, in the room with my wife, and now a baby on me, having these first moments with my daughter. And Jesus, in this moment, in this story, people were bringing babies to him to touch them, to bless them. See, babies, they know a couple things. They know, I need comfort and I need food. And you could see it right away in a baby, right? You place them on the mom, they want comfort and they want food immediately. They're completely and utterly dependent on us. Then the hospital just lets you, or the midwife or whoever it is, just let you have your baby. I think this is ridiculous. Where's the license that goes with this thing, right? I was there in that hospital in Viking, Alberta, this random little town, and I was given, had to bring a car seat. This tiny thing was in a car seat, and then we just had to leave. And just, you got to go now. There's more people coming to birth babies. And so I carry this car seat sweating. I was sweating. Were you sweating? Because I was sweating as I brought this baby, put them in the car, and I'm like, 10 and 2, 10 and 2, 10, 40 kilometers an hour on a 100-kilometer highway. It's the best I ever drove in my entire life. Because we're given this precious human being, right? They just give you this baby. I love how it's put by this one author. It says, what is commended in children is their inherent dependence. For they bring nothing but themselves to the feet of Jesus. They bring nothing but themselves to the feet of Jesus. You can tell a child a story and they just believe it, right? They believe it. TV, movies. My youngest constantly right now, the thing is with that four-year-old, is she's always asking, Dad, is that real? So I do what only any dad would do, is turn to her and simply say, yes, dear, Superman does have a dog. It's a very important part of our life. But they'll believe, right? They love to believe what is put in front of them, story, and I mean, I do it too. That's why I love hanging out with kids, I think. It's because I love being in that space in amazement and belief. A place of wonderment, even. And dependence on knowledge of someone else. It's not oblivion, right? It's not being oblivious. I can literally tell my kids all the facts. Why pigs do not fly. And yet point out the window and say, look, a pig is flying. And they flock to the window, right? And be like, where? I want to see this. They trust me. They trust what I say and will believe it. It's not cheap belief, but it's actually a world full of wonder. A world full of wonder. Parents, how many why questions have you answered in your life? If it's over 1,000, please raise your hand, right? It's up there. It's a beautiful thing, actually. A place of dependency on you for that knowledge and amazement of the world. Here's the posture I think we see from Scripture today. Dependence and amazement. I'm going to break it into those two for us here today. Because our culture, we have a culture of independence, right? We do this with our kids too. We want them to start feeding themselves. We want them to start walking and running. We want them to start putting their clothes on. And when they start changing their own diaper, it's probably time to not be in diapers anymore, right? I learned that the hard way. So so we want them to grow up, and we're told all these things, and then they begin to read and to think for themselves. That's amazing. And to drive and to have jobs and be independent. Be economically independent, be morally independent, be mature human beings. We're taught this, we're told this, to not lean on anybody else. Actually, to the extreme, where we teach independence to the point of isolation, that now you do not need anybody else. So why even depend on anybody else? It actually becomes a negative statement to depend on somebody else, doesn't it? Somebody's like, yeah, I'm independent, right? I think there's some truth in that, but I think when we look at Jesus here, there's a different message coming across. He values dependence in a way that I don't think our culture understands. We're taught the opposite in many ways. Don't lean on people. Stand on your own two feet. Keep your emotions to yourself. You can do it alone. Which becomes very empty encouragement after a while. When you are alone and you feel it deep inside your bones. No, church, the call of what I see here today in Scripture is healthy dependence. Healthy dependence. Which begins with recognizing that I need Jesus to survive. Can we just start there with dependence? Right? I think we can come to this moment that we can say, I just need Jesus. If we just start there, let's start there. I need the arms of the almighty yet super loving Father to even make it to supper today. Right? Some of you have prayed that way recently, right? Just get me to supper today, God. Get me to bedtime, right? When the kids are finally in bed. Just get me there. We need a healthy dependence, though, that goes beyond that to others around us. It's seeking then Jesus together. What does that look like? To depend on one another in community. Knowing I cannot do this alone. Not only my faith walk, which I think many of us can agree on, but just this life in general. I cannot do it alone. I need family. I need friends. I need church community. You can insert your own name in those I statements. I think this is healthy when we can finally say, I need help, and will you help me? We send that text, that message, make that phone call, drive to that person's house. I need help. Kids get this better. You guys rock this. Mom, can I have? Dad, can I have? Get me this, Grandpa. Grandma, get me this. And we force independence until we isolate one another. And I'm on ice if I should even ask for that cup of milk from my neighbor. It's kind of weird even to do that today, isn't it? And I wonder then, would you wonder with me, what would it look like to take on faith as a child, as Jesus is teaching us here, being dependent on the Father who desires to be involved in our lives, to care for us, to be dependent on one another and just somebody else around me in this journey of life? What would it look like to take on that type of faith, a faith of dependence, that God's going to be there for me and someone else he sends my way? Healthy dependence. It's a posture I think we need to take on. The second one is this. I think we have a loss of amazement as we get older. As we age and experience life, and that's our strong suit. As you get older, you have experience. I was listening to the Proverbs today, and you know, the young man's benefit is his strength, and an old man is his gray hair. I was like, okay, thanks. His gray hair is his experience. But as you get older, one thing we lose is amazement. Is amazement. I grew up next to a river, okay? Something like the North Saskatchewan River. It's called the St. John River in New Brunswick. And I didn't realize I grew up next to a river. I thought everyone grew up next to a river. I didn't think it was unique. I thought it was normal. It was there. I woke up, if I opened my window, I could hear a river. Every day of my life, I went to school. I drove down the river to go to school. At school, I heard the river, right? Everywhere I went, there was this river or other rivers. Rivers are everywhere. That's what I've realized in New Brunswick. So when I moved out to Saskatchewan for the first time and out to the prairies, and it was just quiet, like so quiet. I was like, this is so weird out here. What's going on? And I realized I was no longer living beside a river. So now when I go back home to New Brunswick, to my family there, I just listen. I listen in amazement now at the rushing of water. Now I have to purposely drive into the North Saskatchewan River to spend time there to listen and remember how amazing running water is. These giant rivers with such force and power. I forgot about it. But what was it for you? What is it for you you've lost amazement in? Maybe you take for granted that you go to the theaters all the time. Or we put theaters in our houses now. We don't even go to the theaters, right? We're just do you remember the first time you experienced a big picture movie? I was blown away. Or seeing the mountains for the first time, okay? This East Coaster, going to the Rocky Mountains for the first time, I was blown away. I was there for several days, and I'm just like, what is this world, right? And it was a couple of years ago, for the first time I drove into the mountains, and it was as if it was everyday life, and I'm like, I do not want to lose the sense of amazement here at these mountains. We lose it as we get older, as we experience things. Experience is both a strength and a weakness in this case. Something we need to learn, I think, from our children in our midst. What about God just being at work? Maybe some of us who've been in the church world or the Christian world for a while, we hear a story or a testimony and we're like, oh yeah, yeah. But the story was actually someone sharing their testimony and they're being baptized on stage and we lose the amazement of what God can do. Of God transforming someone's life or bringing someone out of poverty. And maybe you hear a story and you're like, you've lost amazement at what God is up to in our world. And we stop looking for what he's up to in our world. That should have been a question I asked today. What is God up to in this world, right? Praying over someone. Have you done that with a kid for the first time? It's so fun to see them develop in prayer. And how they just talk to God like he's so real. Because he is. We lose that amazement in prayer. Maybe Phoebe can invite you to a children's prayer meeting on a Wednesday night sometime. You can join the Zoom link some night. Ask her for it. It's awesome. How can we recover amazement today? I think this is part of being like a child. Eyes of wonder for the kingdom of God, for the world around us. He's moving in. Because I guarantee one thing. We have not seen everything yet. I will look at the most oldest among us and say, we have not seen everything God has yet. This is the posture. A posture of dependence and amazement. So here's the invitation. Accept this like a child. Accept faith like a child. You know, is there hope for us as adults, as young adults, as we're no longer kids again, that we can turn and learn from the children? Is there something we can do? And when I hear that, I think of one story in Scripture, in Luke, and it's Mary and Martha. Do you know the story of Mary and Martha? Let me read you this. Martha's inviting Jesus in and works for him, like doing everything for him to serve him well. And then Mary. Insert Mary into the story. In Luke 10, it says this. While they were traveling, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha, who's actually a friend of Jesus, welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. She came up and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand now. Kids, you as siblings, have you ever encountered this? Why am I doing all the work and my brother or sister are just laying around, right? This is what's going on. The Lord answered her. Jesus answered Martha, okay? And this is a very special case where it's about Jesus, all right? Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice. I'm not condoning lazy children, okay? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying Mary found herself at the feet of the one who is necessary in our lives. In her amazement and utter dependence, she was at the feet of Jesus. Friends, church, This is where we need to be, at the feet of Jesus. We often make so much of what it is to be a Christian or to be a church, do ministry, and we can be buzzing around, running around, doing programs or whatever. But what is important, what is necessary, as it says here, as we find ourselves at the feet of Jesus, dependent and amazed at our God. Well, that's the invitation, I think. To come be at the feet of Jesus in amazement, wonder, and dependence. Today I wonder, then, for you, maybe an application could be to ask. Have a conversation with your children, or children in your life, your nieces, nephews, whoever it may be, and ask them about faith. How come you have such good faith? How come you depend so much on your parents, on your grandparents? Let's learn. Let's observe children who are in wonder. Maybe join them a bit. Wonder about who God is and what he's up to in our world. I invite Joe and Joelle to come on up and lead us in our final song. But I want to pray for us today. Pray over us to have faith like a child. Maybe like Clara and Tobiah. Somebody else you're sitting around today. So would you join me in prayer? Oh, Jesus, I thank you. I first thank you for Claire and Tobiah today. Thank you they were so brave being on stage, answering some hard questions in the lights. May we learn from kids. Would you help us? Would you shine a light on those children around us that we can learn dependence and amazement from? Because you tell us then, for such is the kingdom of God, that people who become like a child, maybe in this way, we get to be in your presence and at your feet, like Mary. So God, today, as we go throughout our week, may we wonder what you're up to. May we take one step of dependence, healthy dependence, risking dependence as adults that we're not very good at. What's one way, Lord, that you could show us this week? So friends and church, you can pray that today. God, what's one way I can show dependence on you this week that I didn't last week? So we look to you today, God. The author and perfecter of our faith, we love you.